Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Of all the things our Lord might have said while he was dying, why these words? Let's consider them in order. The first word: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In a very real sense, the first saying is the most important from the standpoint that it summarizes the saving faith. What is its message? What is its benefit? This Christian gospel, this Christian faith. What encapsulates the reason for Christ coming to begin with? One word: forgiveness. The word forgiveness means a cancellation of debt. Your account is now clear. Romans 6:23 states, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin put you and me in the red. But the death of Jesus Christ to cover your debt puts you in the black. Christ began his words from the cross in order to summarize the saving good news. The good news that explains why he came. All is forgiven you. You are forgiven, dear Christian. Your debt is no more. This truth of the gospel gives us tremendous insight for our new lives in the gospel. How to live? How does this gospel lead you to live? As you struggle in any relationship, we all do, the solution is not to strive to feel good, but to forgive. And God will take care of the rest. This is not about emotions, though those good emotions follow in forgiveness. But it's about an objective thing. It's about canceling a debt. Do not wait for repayment, Christian, but forgive. Cancel the debt that your neighbor owes you. Hold nothing in your neighbor's account. Let it go. Wipe it clean. If you don't, then you choose to be trapped in your own sin. But Christ died on that first Good Friday to release you from sin's bondage. But to withhold forgiveness, to insist on holding on to debt, is to lock it up in the safe deposit box of your heart. You do not cancel the debt. You do not forgive when you live in this way, and this debt will simmer in your heart, and it will turn bitter. And like acid, it will start to eat you away. But Good Friday means that this is not how the Lord Jesus treated you. Even though the soldiers and mockers evidently knew precisely what they were doing, Christ said they did not. Because sin is blinding. It is binding, but it is also blinding. It makes us do and say stupid and insane things. But Christ is nothing but merciful and gives you the benefit of the doubt that you must indeed be like St. Paul, who said of himself, let's make the wording a little more personal, "For the good that you wish, you do not do, but you practice the very evil that you do not wish." This Christ knew full well about you when he canceled your debt on the cross, taking God's wrath for your sin, taking that wrath for you in order to cancel your debt. Your sin is no longer held against you, Christian. Now accept it, believe it, live it. Don't be bound to sin any longer. Extend the forgiveness you confess this holy night. Second, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This was said to the dying sinner who called on the name of the Lord. He was in the throes of his worst suffering, dying a terrible death in pain and abandonment. But what does the Lord give? What does he give in our darkest hours? He gives a promise. There is heaven for those who call on the name of the Lord. There is paradise for those who face nightmarish realities. There is hope for those who feel as though they have no hope. What is more, he answers the prayers of even the worst of sinners, even the chief of sinners. All that is needed is a faith the size of a mustard seed that prays. We look at our sinfulness and we can feel despair, but I haven't even faith the size of a mustard seed. But this is where the second saying comes in. This thief on the cross could do nothing. But when he beheld Christ, his lips and his vocal cords were loosed. And though his hands and his feet were nailed down, his spirit was released from bondage when he beheld Christ. He was given grace to have faith. And then he prayed, and Jesus answered. In the same way, Christian, Christ answers you, even you, because he came for sinners like the thief on the cross. Third, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Through the passion and death of Christ, we are joined to become the body of Christ, the church. It is this simple. Sin causes separation. It separates us from God, and it separates us from one another, even within our own families. But on the cross, Jesus' blood was doing more than merely covering our sins. It was binding us together into the family of God. Think of the cross. It is the intersection between the vertical and the horizontal. It is a place where God is reunited with man and where man becomes reunited together in Christ. Through his cross, Jesus destroyed the separation. Now we have peace with God, and through the gospel, we now have peace with one another. The blood of Christ repairs all that needed to be repaired. In Christ, you are rejoined to God, to your spouse, to your children, to all the family of God. Fourth, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? After you have received this gospel, after you realize he has come to you in your worst despair, and after he has joined you to his holy church, the devil, however, does not stand still as you receive this wondrous gospel. It is too good for him to stand still. It makes him rage. He therefore strives to distract you. This gospel is not for you. True. Christ did all of these great things for the world, but not for you. You are forsaken by God. Our Lord knew what the devil would say and how he would tempt you, dear Christian. So hear this. Jesus also endured your abandonment and your exclusion. Did you hear me? You cannot be excluded. You cannot be forsaken. Because Christ already went through that for you. His being sin and a curse for you was not hypothetical. No, he actually took your place. He was your real substitute and experienced the desertion due you for your sin. The Son looked out and the Father was gone. He poured out the judgment for your sin and condemned his Son, a sinner, and declared him a curse. Then the devil comes and says to you, but Jesus did not do this for you. The gospel, however, thunders down on his false accusations and lies. In the light of the gospel of Christ, in your stead, Jesus took your worst nightmare away. What you fear most, he took for you. It cannot happen again. God will never abandon you. The abandonment is gone. The desertion is completed because the payment for sin was made. The evil one, defeated by this gospel, throws a slew of false accusations your way, but then he hears these words that you hear again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? These words rob the devil of his power. Whatever curse he tries to put on you has already been taken by Jesus. Fifth, I am thirsty. But how can we be so certain that this gospel is true for us? Could it be that all my sin was truly cast on him? We're tempted to doubt. But just when we would, we hear this most simple saying, I am thirsty. It is so simple, in fact, that we think it unimpressive and innocuous compared to the other words. We're wrong to ever think this way. This saying, more than any other, proves Christ's true humanity. That the flesh he bore was yours. The blood that came from his body was just like yours. He was qualified to stand for you because he knew thirst just as you do. There's now no doubt. He was the perfect sacrifice because he was the perfect substitute. What more basically reveals our weakness than thirst? For without quenching it, we die in only a few days. Jesus knew it. He joined you in your humanity, and his thirst proved it. He really was taking your place. Sixth, it is finished. The work of salvation is done. Nothing can be added to it. You are complete right now. All that needed to happen to save you, to make you holy, has been completed. It was done that day 2,000 years ago on the Hill of the Skull. It is finished means just that. Your rescue from sin and all the chaos that it causes has been accomplished. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because it is finished. But some will complain, then why do we continue to go to church? Because the Lord has established his word and his sacrament to keep you in what is finished. The war has been won. The critical surgery was a complete success. Your release from prison was executed. Your poverty has been replaced with an eternal inheritance. All of it is finished. And now the word and the sacrament, the reason why we go to church, keeps it this way. So that your faith in what is finished will never die. Seven. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. There is so much that could be said here, but I'll say this. Because Jesus was put into the hands of the Father, that is where you reside, dear Christian. So hear these wonderful words. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This promise is true. Because Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Because Jesus went to the cross. These are the things that have been given to you, dear child of God. May these seven words be kept in your heart so that whenever you think of death, you think of the death that has saved you. For the Christian, death is now sweet. Death now leads to life. Death can no longer hold us in fear. Because the painful death, the sorrowful death, the agonizing death, the wrathful death was put onto Christ for you. It was and is indeed Good Friday. He died so that now you live. This is most assuredly very, very good. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.